You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Ole Miss was back on the practice field Monday to kick off a new week as the Rebels continue on with fall camp. I'm Billy Ambody. With me, Ben Garrett. This is Talk of Champions, powered by our friends at Riverland Roofing. We will get to a full practice report, as well as the rundown on a new commitment for the Rebels that happened over the weekend. We'll do all that and more on this live edition of Talk of Champions.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove.
That is right. It is Monday evening as Ole Miss just got off the practice field. Ben Garrett looking like it was a cool fall afternoon there. No sweat to be seen over there in the Riverland Roofing New Albany studio. Ben, you've got your studio locked in there, ready to roll for the practice report. And this was a nice way to kick it off the week, I'm sure, because you got some nice weather, maybe. You got a little evening, golden hour viewing of the Rebels.
Yes, it was a nice change of pace. Originally, they were going to go out on Tuesday morning. So Monday evening, pretty cool considering we've been dealing with triple digits almost every single day out there. And they got a lot of good work in. It was the first day in full pads. We learned a number of different things that we're going to talk about here on this edition of Talk of Champions, powered as always by Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com for all your roofing needs. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss athletics in the name, image, and likeness space. So thanks to our friends at Riverland Roofing. But yeah, there were some cool stuff we got to see with the team. Not a particularly accurate couple of periods that we got to view for Austin Simmons, but also some encouraging things from the defense, some experimenting going on, a lot to cover in this edition, man.
And look, Ole Miss had a tough weekend away from the field as they did lay to rest Corey Adams in New Orleans and spent some time once again with his family and honoring him and the passing that tragically happened in Memphis. So our thoughts and prayers continue to be with the Adams family and the whole Ole Miss family as they continue to battle through what's been a tough end of summer into fall camp. So they've now laid him to rest and honored him. And they were back out. It looked like they were back out on the practice field Sunday and then got after it tonight for that evening practice. So we'll have a couple more viewing periods later this week. But Ben, you mentioned a little inaccuracy from what you guys saw from Austin Simmons. What did you see? What were they doing out there with Austin at quarterback?
Well, I mean, again, it's a couple of periods, and you don't view a full day off of a couple of periods. But we did get to see a little bit of a goal line team versus team, a little bit of team versus team once they went outside outdoors. They started inside and worked out. And as far as outside team, you know, he had Deshaun Stribling on a post corner, great route that was run by him, and he just overthrew him. And I thought one thing that really stuck out is tried to throw this quick hitch to Trace Buckler, the New Mexico State transfer tight end, and Nick Cole comes in with the PBU. They're hitting now, so PBUs can actually come through making contact, not just trying to strip them. And that was one of the plays of at least the time we got to look, go out and see it. But the goal line stuff was interesting, mainly because of Caleb Odom. He was the one out there making some plays, or at least the attempts were going his way. Austin tried to force one to him. It fell incomplete, or at least he completed it to him, but it was short of the goal line. Defense had a good goal line stand on that one. And then, Trinidad Chambliss on the next play after the goal line stand against Austin Simmons in the first team, found Odom again in the back of the end zone for a touchdown in a cool competitive team period. And you saw the intensity really picking up because again, this is full pads and finally football starting to feel like football and not just going against air. Most of it is still against air as they try to protect this team. Some new guys in black jerseys, some guys who were in black jerseys now out of those jerseys. And these are black, no contact injury designation jerseys. Notable out of them now are Daquan Wright, Jalen Braxton, the transfer from Arkansas, who is at free safety. We were wondering that was, where is he going to line up? Cornerback is maybe still in need. He's got positional versatility. In 2023, he was a freshman All-American at corner for Arkansas, but he's been in a black injury jersey since he got here in the spring, and today he was out of that jersey and lined up as the number three free safety, and Nick Cole is the starting free safety as they kind of ease his way back in. Caden Lee was in a black no contact jersey, but that could be just protecting Caden, getting looks at other guys. But you got to see a little bit more of what football looks like because there's some action, right? There's some real contact in the team periods, be it goal line or there in the middle of the field as we're watching them kind of get warm up outside. It was a good day. It was a fun day, and again, a lot of things actually gleaned from typically would have been pretty light on big developments today. I feel like we actually learned a pretty good bit.
And Ole Miss today, of course, things that Lane Kiffin cares about deeply is the coaches poll lined up there at number 16. Or 15. And so they right in the middle, in a sense, right behind South Carolina there, who's at 13, two top 10 teams, LSU, and Georgia are on the schedule for Ole Miss. And look, I love giving some of my Oklahoma friends a little bit of grief as OU was left outside of the coaches poll top 25 in the preseason for the first time since 99, I believe.
Wow. And
I said, they're sleeping on you guys. And they go, oh, yeah, the same coaches that had Oklahoma in the top 10 preseason last year. We saw how that went. So They're hoping to get back on the right track over there. But look, Ole Miss, they do have a lot of options in that secondary. Jalen Braxton sliding back to free safety, kind of settling in there, is something that really intrigues me because you have so many different options that are emerging in the secondary, whether it be, Ricky Fletcher, trying to battle his way up. We heard a lot about him in the offseason at the corner spot. And maybe that is a piece of why Ole Miss is kind of like, okay, maybe we do have a little bit more corners than we thought of. Obviously, the injuries to a couple of the guys in the car with Corey Adams, really hurt them in that regard. But, this is a player, I think, in Jalen Braxton that has always been talented. I think being in this setting with Pete Golding and what they do defensively, working with Brian Brown, Wes Neighbors, those coaches, this is the time where he's got to get right because he's had a good start to his career, but then kind of dipped a little bit there in 24. Ole Miss is kind of one of those places where careers really get revitalized for these players that show that talent early on.
Absolutely. And speaking of the ones that were in the car with Corey Adams, God let rest his soul, man. That's I'm glad you brought that up at the start of the time because, yes, they dismissed on Saturday so they could all, as coaches and players, as a team, go down to New Orleans for a celebration of life of him. And it's just something that this team is going to carry with them all year for the rest of their lives, obviously. And we just wish the absolute best for his family. It's awful. But one of the players that were was in the car with him, TJ Banks, was walking without crutches today, which I thought was notable. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's anywhere close to being in football shape, but he'd been on crutches since the incident. We were told was shot clean through the knee. He's wrapped up on that knee. He didn't have surgery on it. And today he was walking under his own power and without crutches. So I thought that was pretty notable. That's a guy that at worst was in the two deep. He was a starting cornerback in spring and then got moved to safety at the end of spring. But that's kind of what you're talking about here. A guy like Jalen Braxton, TJ Banks, the positional versatility of this group. We spoke about it on Talk of Champions at the end of last week. And, you know, if Jalen Braxton can settle in and be closer to 2023 Jalen Braxton, the freshman All-American, than last year when he was banged up, except at safety, man, that could open up so much for them because Chris Graves and Antonio Kite are your starting cornerbacks. Ricky Fletcher and Chris Graves have a really good position battle going on for number one over there. Everyone loves the size and possibility of Ricky Fletcher from South Alabama. On the other end, Patrick Broomfield was in a black no-contact jersey too. So some other options out there getting some time, getting a little bit of run. But really, if he settles in Jalen Braxton as safety, maybe that opens up Sage Ryan, who can play cornerback and has played it pretty well in terms of his career at LSU, if Antonio Kite maybe doesn't click in there, or Chris Graves and Ricky Fletcher, they have to use both of them. Like, who knows? It's just it's a better depth of options now, certainly compared to the spring. It's still a wait and see for me because, without a doubt, Ole Miss loves its eight in the rotation up front. And they were experimenting today because in a lot of the team stuff, it was pure passing stuff, no running. So, and I thought it was interesting, Cam Franklin, who's been running with the second team where Jared Ivey lined up last year, currently dominated by Deshaun Womack, who was in a black jersey and didn't do a lot of, or if any, team stuff. Cam Franklin was sliding down into D tackle during pass situations, was exactly what Jared Ivey did last year. What's made him so versatile was that he could be that strong side defensive end. He could be a pass rusher, situational pass rusher, and he could be a defensive tackle as far as pass rushing packages. So Cam Franklin's taking a little bit of that responsibility, and he looks the part, but you obviously want to continue to see him develop and come along and see him take it to the field as far as game day. Another experimental thing that really kind of stuck out to me, because there was a lot of it out there. You know, they were trying Tyler Banks as a little bit of a rush in. Now, he's the number two linebacker as far as the backup to Taj Chambers. You got TJ Dottery and Taj Chambers, and Tyler Banks is backing up Taj Chambers. Today, he was lining up at end. He was standing up and doing a little bit of that, which is a first for his career. This is a player who is really underappreciated, is going to have a real role for Ole Miss. He's been a special teams dynamo for the last 2 years. It's time for him to be a key, reliable rotational piece, both at linebacker and potentially as a rush in and pass rushing situations. We'll see how that works out. But I thought it was really a fascinating practice in that way because we got to see some names we've been talking about being tried and being, just seeing what all they have and the different combinations they have to keep this defense rolling down the hill. Last year, it was a record-setting defense. We all know this, the tackle for loss record, the sack record. We know these things. How do you just replace that when you're replacing over 70% of your starting lineup? Well, you do it by collecting as many good players as possible, both in the transfer portal and in high school, and developing them. And so far, so good, except the secondary is still very much a work in progress, but at least they got some stuff to work with, including now Jalen Braxton, who I think, man, he's critical. He's absolutely critical. They need him to be a starter somewhere. And I'm not, you know, you don't want to put pressure on kids and all that kind of stuff, but like, this is one of their marquee transfer signees, right? Yeah. There's real money involved and contracts and expectations. Getting him out of a black no contact jersey, that's a big deal. And now it's time for him to climb the depth chart somewhere. Good for Nick Cole. I hope he sticks to free safety and they can use the positional versatility of Jalen Braxton. Had, again, a good day today. Had a PBU against Trace Buckler and Austin Simmons on a hitch route and team. It's some good stuff. But Jalen Braxton, there was a lot invested in him in particular. Now it's time for him to go. And thankfully, he actually has the opportunity to go. But durability has always been his issue. And now he's got to show that he can actually stay on the field and play at a high level.
Yeah, and Ole Miss sitting at plus 1600 for championship odds, presented by BetMGM as well. And
it's about right.
If they're going, yeah. And the funny thing is, and I love this kind of when you look at Vegas versus kind of polls, you know, A&M's above Ole Miss in terms of, you know, plus 1400, right below Ole Miss, plus 1800. The Rebels are ahead of A&M and then are just behind South Carolina in the coaches poll. So it's kind of interesting sometimes how
Ole Miss is a better bet in that scenario than South Carolina, in my opinion. Yeah. Even with Texas A&M, of those three and where they sit in their odds.
Exactly. I would move Ole Miss above A&M and then South Carolina above A&M. Man, this is where Vegas makes their money. And I know Mike Elko is a different dude. I think for A&M a good way. But come on. How many times have we?
If you're an Ole Miss fan and you're like, well, what the disrespect? Come on now. They're ranked 16th. Like, we should remember what it used to be after Ole Miss had like the 10-win season with Eli. Then you fall back and lose to Wyoming with Ethan Flatt. I keep using that because it's like the perfect encapsulation of what Ole Miss used to be last year. Yeah, it's what it used to be. Like, they lost so much, but the fact that they could be quite literally replacing over 70% of their starting 22 from a 10-win team last year, the fact that they could still go out and use all the resources available to bring players in and be ranked at worst number 16,
yeah,
you know, or getting plus 1,600 as far as national championship odds, to be honest – like, why wouldn't you lay down? If you have $100 to lay down, lay it down for that. That's a pretty good bet because when you look at the rest of the, like, in college football, considering all that's changed, one thing that's really good about the change, and there's not a ton really good about it, but one thing that's really good, man, the parity is better than it's ever been. Anybody can win the thing. Yep. And some hate that, but if you're an Ole Miss fan, this is the opportunity, and this is a team that, yeah, compared to the others, you see it. There are some real areas, though, where, man, if they don't clean it up, what's the floor? I think that 8.5 win total is, you know, 8 wins, 7 wins. If it's 7 wins, they just had a disastrous year, which is crazy. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I think their floor is 8 wins, and because of how the schedule sets up and what you see compared to the field, yeah, I think Ole Miss has a real shot. Especially watching for the last 2 weeks, man, they look like a contender. Now that doesn't mean they're going to, but do you see a massive drop off from practice reps last year compared to this year? Not really. It's maybe a little rawer, you know, and Austin Simmons is making a few more mistakes in team because he's not that, you know, grizzled vet, but
historic quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Jackson Dart was a 3-year record setter at Ole Miss, and he's already doing great things with the Giants. So Austin Simmons is going to force some things that he shouldn't. He's going to make some dumb practice mistakes, but you talk to Sadra and he's like, dude, I've played against the very best in the country at LSU at quarterback. And Austin Simmons looks like just like one of them dudes, like a dude. So I'll take his opinion over a couple periods where, yeah, you know, Austin forced a shot in or two, but I think they look good. I really do. And it seems like they have a nice chemistry about them as well. So it's been, today was really fun because it felt like football. Like I said at the top, you know, like, cause they were in the pads and the sun was setting in Oxford, Mississippi, the blue water tower in the background. It felt like it was in the air. And, you know, and last week, you know, you started and you kind of just a bum rush of all this stuff. Today it was kind of chill and it was like, oh, you know, football, right?
Let's just go watch it.
Yeah, let's go watch exactly. Football. Yeah. Yeah. And it felt like football. They were doing football things, and that's where you get to learn some stuff. You know, actually get to learn some stuff about what they're doing.
And look, Ole Miss is going to have a bunch of new names on this team. And before we get to the ones that, hey, a week into camp, let's go ahead and do this. Let's give some flowers to some of the guys that aren't being talked about enough that will have big impacts, we feel like, on this team in 2025. But before we do that, I do want to remind you guys about our friends at College Corner. We are going to be in the Oxford Commons.
Yes, we are.
On August 13th in the evening. And we are going to get that final time over to you guys. We have some special guests we're trying to line up. So make sure you shop at any of the locations across Mississippi, College Corner. They've got great Ole Miss gear. They've got all the gear that you need for tailgating. If you're watching on our YouTube or Twitter right now, you can get hooked up for your tailgating and the Grove setup and all of those things. Hey, Ben, what did you make of the Grove rules? What's the buzz out of all of those?
It's for me, it's just more of the same. The people who are frustrated continue to be frustrated, and I'm going to have somebody on that's a vendor later this week on Talk of Champions to talk about it. It's just it was inevitable that they were going to have to do these things, okay? It doesn't make it any easier or any less messy and any more frustrating for traditional Ole Miss people. So I don't want to get too much in the weeds about it. I really don't. I'm just going to simply say I get why Ole Miss is having to do it. I think there are better ways to go about it in certain aspects. But, guys, this is the world you now live in. If it ain't bolted to the floor, they're going to sell the hell out of it. And, like, whether you like it or not, like, that's how Ole Miss is staying competitive. And I hate that some of that, including the Grove experiences, I remembered it being lost, but also coming from the side of Ole Miss is operating as a big-time efficient corporation, and it's doing what it has to do to stay marketable and valuable and solvent. So I get it in that way. But like I said, I'm going to have a friend on here later this week that's a vendor that puts up tents in the Grove, the very best at doing it, to kind of talk about it, how it's affecting them, because there are some real issues that come from people who are just like your typical New Albany, Pontotoc, Tupelo, Oxford. You pick anywhere from around North Mississippi, they found a way to make a living, and now that's getting challenged because inevitably it's going to get challenged as Ole Miss turns everything or corporatizes everything. So that's my whole spiel on it. I'd rather talk about practice, to be honest with you, because it is a bummer. I get why people are bummed, and I don't blame them for being bummed just as much as I don't blame Ole Miss for doing what it has to open up every revenue stream that it can possibly come up with.
I was more doing that to pub your upcoming show. You know,
let's go. Fire me up.
Of course. So we'll be sure to stay tuned for that on Talk of Champions here later this week as well. We've got a couple questions in the chat. We shout out all the guys in there. Jerry Moore right off the top. Hotty Toddy from Pascagoula. We've got two questions in there that I want to save as well. But we do want to go to our next segment on important rebels that are not being talked about enough. And a week into camp, this is kind of a good time for this because now is the time where people are, A, starting to realize football's here. Of course, you've got NFL training camps. You've got NFL preseason games on as well. So the reality is football is back, and people are going to start paying attention to who is on this roster. You know, now that it's finalized.
Did you look at the numbers for the Hall of Fame game, which we all know is a scam, is boring and terrible, yet we were so football starved. The most watched, and it didn't have any
really? Good,
like, it had the Chargers, like, the most watched in like 5 years, like pre-COVID. Or
Trey
since
Harris effect?
Yeah. Hopefully so. Dean Leonard, Isaac Okwu was on the Lions. You think him and Kenny Yeboah just kind of like spiked those numbers? Hopefully so. But yeah, like, we're football starved, man. And then today for it to be like very much feel like Ole Miss football, it's, you know, it's in the air, folks. And that's why we're kind of pumped and doing this late at night.
Yeah. All right. Let's lead off. You mentioned him earlier in the podcast. Nick Cole is one that is going to have to play a role, because I will say this about secondaries in college football these days. The old days, it was, man, secondary always gets banged up, but nobody was willing to really go out there and force feed different reps to other players in games and say, hey, we're going to have an amazing two deep that actually plays across all four or five positions. Nobody wanted to do that. They just had this backup guy. But the reality is secondary players get hurt. And Nick Cole, battling away for a starting job, could very well have one. But he's also somebody that has to stay healthy and has to be able to step up and raise his game going into the season.
It's his time. He's been here for multiple years. He's been developing, and there's a need now at his position. Jalen Braxton hasn't been there to challenge him as they'd hoped once they signed him from Arkansas. Well, now he is. As they will all repeat, it's the often cliche thing that you hear in football, iron sharpens iron, which is, of course, biblical. So that's awesome, but also you hear it a lot. And Nick Cole and Jalen Braxton are kind of doing that now at free safety. But regardless of who wins the job, man, you need – more than just one. And Nick Cole has been in this program a long time. It's his time now. And again, a really good PBU today in the team action we got to see where he closed out just like a bullet shot in there to break up a pass intended for Trace Buckler, who is probably the number three tight end right now behind Daquan Wright and Caleb Odom, who had a pretty good day. So yeah, it starts with Nick Cole for me, because, man, if there was ever a time, it's been special teams or limited being backup, like kind of trying to figure it out. Now he's asked to really be the last line of defense back there, to really be a captain of the defensive backfield, to call it out to be that vet, even though he does not have very many, you know, stripes on the resume yet. But if there was ever a time, it has to be now. It's kind of put up or shut up time, do or die time for Nick Cole. And yeah, he's one that is absolutely going to play a big role. He's been starting since the spring hit, since the very first spring, he's been the starting free safety. And I'll be honest with you, I thought that would have been one of the first guys replaced by one of these new guys, and there he's been. Even as guys have been healthy, he's had a consistent, strong showing both from the spring and now in the early weeks, the first 2 weeks of Ole Miss fall camp. Now, another player that is terribly under-talked about, and he's going to play a big role. If he doesn't, then put it on freezing cold takes. Andrew Maddox, the four-star defensive tackle signee. He is in the two deep at defensive tackle. He looks the part. You know all about the recruiting profile, Bill. You can lay it out there for the folks if you want to. Brother of AJ, who's the quarterback, backup quarterback for Ole Miss. Well, number three right now behind Trinidad Chambliss. But yeah, I think he's going to play a very important role for a true freshman, which you don't see a ton of, especially on both sides of the line, under Lane Kiffin. But considering Akilo Stone transferred out, that's one that actually hurt them depth-wise. They love Jam Brown. They love Xavier Harris. They love William Eccles. They've got some versatility with guys like Cam Franklin, who's playing that J.I. role. So is Deshaun Womack, if he can stay healthy again, is in a black no-contact jersey today, which is new. But this is a player that's going to be important. Now, with freshmen, you just aren't used to that under Lane Kiffin, seeing them making that kind of impact, especially, again, on both sides of the line. I think this is a unique guy. I mean, I think he's that kind of quality and that kind of ready-made. His dad's been at pretty much every practice, man. It's been really cool to see. And apparently he's got a brother that's already a 10th grader at Oxford High School that's built like a brick shit house too. So, you know, they just keep on coming. This kid is going to play, and he's going to play a real role. He's one you got to keep an eye for.
And look, with the defensive tackle room, you know, Xavier Harris, Will Eccles, Jam Brown, you know, Cameron Cam Beavers maybe could be.
He's had a pretty good these last three or four. You're seeing more and more of him. It was fun watching him also take punt returns today just because he's an athletic freak, and it was the start of practice. They can do whatever they want. He's an athletic freak, and he's actually starting to show some signs too. So, yeah, you know, I think that's a good potential position kind of face-off, Cam Beavers and Andrew Maddox. Andrew Maddox, that kid, he's a diaper dandy, at least so far, and how they're using him and how they want to utilize him. So, you know, it's interesting to watch this team, man. It's a good team, and they've got guys that, again, you need to start paying more attention to because they're going to play big roles. Another one being Devin Harper, your dude from recruiting. You've talked about him. You nailed this one. The number two left tackle right now. He's right behind Diego Pounds, and he doesn't look like a freshman. He reminds me a lot of he's got the same similar look as a true freshman as like Michael Orr and Bobby Massey and John Jerry, all guys that came to Ole Miss. And maybe they played, like, for example, Bobby Massey settled in as a starting right tackle, played multiple years in the NFL at right tackle. But he started at Ole Miss at right guard. Same thing with Michael Orr. They started at right guard to kind of bring him along, make him starters quickly. Laramie Tunsil was the best of the bunch. He was in a left tackle from get-go, and once he started, he was never going to be pulled out of the lineup. He is an interior unto himself. But Devin Harper reminds me of these other freshman offensive linemen that had the look, that were already getting the reps, that could force their way into the starting lineup and be a good multi-year starter. Devin Harper is the best offensive lineman as a freshman from high school that Lane Kiffin has added. And honestly, if this one doesn't work, I don't know. They got a problem. Preston Cushman's gone. Cam East is gone. All the other developmental tackles are gone. This kid looks like one of those that gets in. Maybe it takes three or four games. But once he gets in, he's going to stay wherever that is. Right now, it's the backup left tackle. I could see him at either guard. I could see, you know, maybe if Bryson Sanders isn't the center he needs to be and Patrick Kutis has to be the center, Devin Harper, I think, you know, and Delano Townsend and P.J. Wilkins, maybe they one of them gets banged up or they're just not what you need them to be or they're better together in one spot. Devin Harper has the look of a guy that's going to play and is much further along than the typical freshman offensive lineman we're used to seeing under Lane Kiffin. So, again, Bill understands the recruiting side, too, because this is a big recruiting battle. This is a guy that Ole Miss pulled from Louisiana away from LSU, right? I mean, this is a dude that you expect to start. I mean, in old days, it wouldn't even – or to contribute, at least. In the old days, you wouldn't even question it, right? You wouldn't even question if this was a player that was going to contribute. Absolutely, because he is of the Bobby Massey tree, of the John Jerry tree. Like, the raw ability alone should get him on the in the rotation. That's why we talk about the bullishness of the depth, at least on the offensive line, in places maybe you didn't quite realize. You know, and Bill, again, can touch on this, but Devin Harper looks the part.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game. Delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Yeah, and I think with Devin, the thing that is intriguing to me is I saw his first football game of his junior year, and he was... Oh, wow. And he was playing left tackle over there in Shreveport at Calvary Baptist, and just off the bus, I was like, "Oh man, wow! Yeah. This is exactly what I was told coming out here." Hey, obviously, I knew I was going to see Devin Harper, and I was going there to see him. And kind of from what everyone had told me, he's going to wow you right off the bus, and he did. Yeah. And then I saw a guy who is absolutely athletic. Had no idea what he was doing in a sense. Like, you know, he just like,
but he gets by because he's such an athletic freak.
Yeah. Like, you could see him bend. You could see him, you know, want to go down the field and run down the field after play, you know, just kind of some of those things that end up going viral for offensive linemen. He was kind of doing out there in a little fall jamboree scrimmage. And then you see him transfer over what was it? Calvary. It was the other high school there. That's powerhouse Shreveport.
Come on, former LSU guy. Come on now.
I know. I guess it wasn't. No, it was Captain Shreve as a junior and then Calvary Baptist as a senior. So anyway, you see him get into a school that's much more known for kind of being that private school powerhouse, you know, coaches all over the field. I mean, like a staff of 20, you know, things like that. And you watch his senior tape, and I was really intrigued to see how it would look. Much more polished, clearly got with a trainer, put in the work, and obviously Ole Miss did a terrific job recruiting him and put together a great package for him and all of those things to flip him from LSU. But this is a player that they're expecting big things from in the long term. This new day and age of college football, you need to get some of these blue chip guys on the field early, not necessarily starting, but show them, hey, what we told you is there for you if you put the work together and you show what you can do in a positive way on the field. And that's what Devin Harper's done all summer. You know, talking with sources, look, this is some of the stuff that we've dropped over the summer and on the site. And look, everybody was saying how they had to kick Connor Howes and Devin Harper out of the facility at times and say, hey, chill, guys, chill. And that's the type of
Miles, you know, man. That's what you want.
Yeah, that's the type of players that Ole Miss likes. Is they want those guys that love football, and that's why sometimes they can go to a Missouri State and say, "Hey, Taj Chambers, you know, you're in the portal. Do you want to come over this way, play in the SEC? Your money here, you're starting a family, all those things." Those are the type of players that really resonate with them. They don't necessarily love all the flash and certain things. When it comes to players, if they, you know, are kind of dramatic or high maintenance and all of those things through recruiting, they'll be like, that just doesn't vibe with our culture. They want guys that want to come there and they have to tell them, no, you can't work out. It's a visit or something like that. You know what I mean? Like that, yeah. Those guys that are always about the work, or, you know, we talked about Reese Wise, the 2026 quarterback commit. He was in the facility at like 4:35 a.m. with Austin Simmons, just watching film on his visits. So he's a, you know, commitment, obviously a long way away. I'm not trying to derail it, but these are the type of players that we're talking about here that, you know, Ole Miss likes. And, You know, Deuce Alexander is another one on the offensive side that I think, you know, you mentioned as somebody to really, really watch. And nobody's talking about him because he's coming from Wake Forest, coaching change, right. You know, kind of a mess of a program there at the end. And he's looking probably to be the number two, maybe behind like a Caden Lee, might play outside, could kind of play all over, I think, from what I've watched.
Yes, he can. And that was the last one I had as far as got important Rebels that are going to play a big role that aren't being talked about enough. It's like you knew to set the tee up and put the ball in the tee. Just saw it. See, look at you. Just
I'm not a kicker or anything like that.
But. Lobbing it in there for me. Caden Lee, again, was in a black jersey today. That's the first time he's been in a black jersey. I don't think anything's wrong with Caden Lee. I think Caden Lee is a guy that
be careful with him.
Be very careful and get him to the season. And it opens up opportunities for a guy like Deuce Alexander, who is, at worst, the number two slot behind him. But as you said, can go out to X, can play a little Y. He's versatile, and he's consistently showing up every single day. Treylon Ray has been getting a lot of love, the West Virginia transfer, because we just didn't see him in the spring. He was banged up the whole time, so he was a stranger. So we always fall in love with, like, the new guys you see, and like, oh, yeah, keep an eye on him, and Treylon Ray is going to do some great things. But Deuce Alexander, man, I think he's got a real solidified role in this offense. They're going to look for ways to get him the ball. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Jordan Watkins, but how Jordan Watkins was used is exactly how they could use Deuce Alexander. Now, Trey, they're probably going to have to make up for the lost production with such a good player and a fourth round pick to the San Francisco 49ers and Jordan Watkins. They're probably going to have to make up for that lost production with multiple guys. Winston Watkins is running in the two deep rotation. He's doing some good things. The freshman four star Caleb Cunningham is not in a black jersey anymore, but he is still just getting started. He's just figuring out, and they're taking it baby slow with him. Like, they're taking it really slow. He is a very important piece. These other guys, though, are already at the place of ready to contribute to winning football for Ole Miss. And Deuce Alexander, man, I'm telling you, he is at worst right now. If I had to, like, rank the wide receivers in terms of impact and all that kind of stuff, Caden Lee, Harrison Wallace, DeJuan Stribling, Deuce Alexander. I think Deuce is right there at worst at number four, and he's going to be a guy that he's going to keep showing up for Ole Miss every single Saturday with like six catches for 67 yards. You go, like, where the heck did that come from? And you'll remember that you heard it on Talk of Champions. I really think Deuce Alexander's got a role in this team.
And as we wrap up with that, I think the last question here, the last team-related question for you from our guy, NS. Very simple. Hmm. Who do y'all think will get the Chucky Mullins jersey? Ben.
Jam Brown. So that's my guy. In-state kid, beloved by his teammates, lunch pail. He's about that action. It would be Santarian Perkins if they're going with the best player. I'm one of those that advocates, if you're going to pick the Chucky winner, they need to want to wear the 38. It should mean something. Like the patch, it's just not for me. If we're now like selling all of the Grove, at least keep some of this stuff, you know. And one of those is wear the number. So if Patrick Willis, totally fine, man. I like my 49. I want to respect Chucky. Yeah, that's fine. He doesn't. Then don't give it to Patrick. Give it to someone who's willing to wear the 38. Jam Brown, I feel, would embrace that. I think he really would, and I think that's important because that is the Ole Miss award that keeps Ole Miss Ole Miss. While everybody's competing for, like, yeah, you want to see Austin Simmons become a Heisman guy. You want to see this. But, like, we should never lose sight as the years keep going further and further away from when Chucky passed, from honoring something that has meant everything to Ole Miss football and the Ole Miss University community as a whole for so long. You got to hold tighter to those things than ever before. So I think Jam Brown, man, that would be a perfect candidate. But there are other candidates as well. TJ Dottery is obviously one of them. Santarian Perkins is obviously one of them. But find me one outside of Jam Brown that has more of the connective tissue to what the spirit of the Chucky Mullins Award is supposed to be, and I'm all ears.
So is it it's in-state, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dottery's.
No, you don't have to be. You
know, oh, you okay. All right. That's what I was – got it. Yeah. Okay.
You don't have to be.
So my pick then would be Dottery. That's my – I mean –
Yeah, which is more than fair. And I think Gore would appreciate it and would respect it. And he would.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, I think he would mean something to him. But yeah, my pick's Jam. And plus, it'd be cool to watch 38 as a defensive tackle. That's another guy that's not being talked about enough.
Flip him over to the offensive side while we're at it.
Why not? You know, do a little JJ Pegues. Like, JJ wore 89. Like, he threaded the needle pretty well. Yeah. I really appreciate how he wore the 38. Like, that's a good idea, too. Just wear him for home games. Cool. That makes a lot of sense to me. I'm all for compromise. But, like, yeah, I just think Jam is such a – for who he is on this team, like, yeah. Well, he's not appreciated. He's not going to get the same shine as Austin and Sunterian and all these other guys.
Right.
But in that locker room, few are valued higher than Jam Brown. And that's the locker room, true locker room spirit leadership award. And I think Jam would be a great fit for that.
Hottie Toddy.
Tyler Banks, too. Sorry.
What?
Tyler Banks, too. That'd be a good one. We need Tyler Banks to, like, emerge as more of a depth guy. You know, if you're going to wear that 38, be out there. You know what I mean? Yeah. We need to see a little bit more of that.
Hottie Toddy from straight out of Tupelo, Mississippi. Al Humphreys. Might be some future Rebels coming from Tupelo that and one on the roster, of course, that might wear it one day. So keep an eye on that. All right. Flip over to a little bit of recruiting. Dwight Wilson gets hired in a recruiting staffer personnel role today. Got it confirmed over here on Three Rivals. Appreciate our whole team for working together on that one. And we're really, I think, kind of bullish on this one. I mean, this is somebody who, born and raised Mississippi, you know, has worked his way up through the junior college ranks, has worked at Hines, has worked at Itawamba. Like, he's been all over, and then worked at Southern Miss the last 2 years. Had left in January to go to Old Dominion to be their corners coach, and Ole Miss called, and he's coming home. And this is where he started his career as a student assistant. He's a veteran. This is a very veteran hire. He's not old, especially in coaching circles, but he's been around since the late 90s, I believe, in coaching. So this is somebody that will now step into maybe a Kelvin Bolden, maybe a combination recruiting role. The exact position is not something that we were informed of yet. I do think there are things that are maybe getting closer to happening on the other role, which is kind of the Alex Brown, director of player personnel role that has been vacated since he left for the Falcons. And I don't know. I don't have any inkling yet. But as we were confirming the news of Wilson coming down to Ole Miss and back to Mississippi, somebody said, hey, I think they're going to get this personnel job kind of finalized here relatively soon, so that then as they get into the season, they can have somebody at the top of the scouting food chain and things like that. And right now is the player personnel symposium, and Ole Miss's staff is there as well. So maybe a time to network and finalize, and, you know, maybe even conduct a couple interviews here and there if need be. So this is a key position coming up, but I think on paper, you know, I think with recruiting staffers, you know, to an extent, you're only as good as where you are, you know, from resources and all of those things. But at the same time, recruiting staffers, especially the higher ups can kind of impact how people are feeling, and also kind of generate a little bit of buzz to, you know, raise the giving level. Like, they're not development guys in terms of bringing in money, but if people like you and if people like what you're doing and like what you're about, and you know people and all of those things, like, you know, Dwight Wilson seems very polished in that regard as far as connections go, that could help. Can't hurt. And so now we'll see kind of as he gets his feet settled in Oxford, what his first order of business is starting to kind of lay his plan out there as far as the recruiting direction.
Checks a lot of boxes that you thought they'd check with this. I mean, yep. I don't think it's any coincidence that part of the background is in-state. I mean, they needed a guy like that, and a guy that's got real skin in the game as far as what it means to him and all that kind of stuff, and the territory. And I mean, they lost a lot in terms of, and it's not just Kelvin. I mean, Alex Brown was bigger than that. I mean,
yep.
They lost some guys that had you know, some real chops in this. And I think it's a great start, a great piece to bring in. And now you can take your time with the second hire. You could, you know, build it out even more. But for where it is right now, that's a good start. And that's a good piece. And I love how Lane doesn't recycle names either. Like, obviously, yeah, a lot of guys that have coached under him had reached out and wanted that job. And he went and made, like good CEOs do, measured, didn't hire with emotion, said, well, this one's got more of what we need for this spot. And he brought him in. So, you know, I don't want to go and mention the names of guys that reached out, but I mean, these are guys that coached under Lane that were like, hey, I'd come back and I want to do this. And he was like, yes, and I appreciate that, but I got to make the best decision for Ole Miss. And he goes with a guy that no one really had on their radar until today. Yep. And that's how Lane operates in a lot of ways, which I think is commendable in the way to do it, especially in this day and age. Lane takes his time, and Lane's the one that makes the decision. And now you're seeing the first of two hires, like Billy's been talking about. There's another one to come, but this is the exact place or fits, checks a lot of the boxes, most of the boxes that if you made anybody who's been paying attention to this stuff, who's been reporting on this stuff, if you made them list it out, this guy meets a lot of the stuff that you would have listed out. I mean, it's a good hire.
I think too, for the scouting job, I think based on what I've heard, at least, and like you said with Lane, I mean, he only, you know, he kind of marches to the beat of his own drum sometimes on this stuff. But I think with this one, I think they might go somebody he's known and or worked with for a long, like a minute, like maybe somebody from his past. That's just,
and that's a bigger hire. You know, a different station. So that, but for this stuff here on the ground, boots on the ground. Yeah. This checked a lot.
You can take a little bit more of like a risk if I haven't worked with that guy, but you know, Dwight has worked with Kane Womack, who's here in the past. And then, Chris James, might know him as well. There's just coaching circles and all of those things are, it's just a small world. And sometimes you just need a little nudge, you know, from somebody already there to the higher ups to say, hey, like so-and-so applied or so-and-so is interested, you know, he'd be a pretty good one to bring back. So
that's right. And that's why, you know, if when they're looking for this spot, it's no coincidence that the in-state piece is, I mean, they had to hit that. They had to hit that with this particularly. The other one is a different station, a job, a different caliber of job, and different responsibilities. This one, the in-state piece mattered, and in-state has not been going great. So getting that, turning that worm is part of it, and certainly it looks like they certainly accomplished that in this hire and getting Dwight Wilson in here. I mean, I think it's a great first step of two steps that's going to really shape a lot of what Ole Miss does as far as recruiting for the next, you know, calendar year at least. So, yeah, that's why you got to pay attention to this stuff. You got to keep this stuff on your radar too, because, man, this is now where kind of the real, you know, work is done. The real hard work is done. So, yeah, anyway, it's a good start. And from a good day of football, a busy day of football, we had a lot to cover tonight, man.
Absolutely. And let's end with this real quick. One more question here. Do you think whoever the next hire is first task will be to full court press Jace Matthews? I don't necessarily think that is, like in the old days, yes, that would be what would be the next up in terms of, you know, Ole Miss's new recruiting staffers is, hey, let's try to get Jace Matthews, Trista Keys, Deuce Gerald's. I mean, you could just Nolan Wilson, Corey Wells. That's the way in-state recruiting's gone this year for Ole Miss. But yeah, I know Yeesh is right, and that was just off the top of my head. But I think for them, you're going to see an era, in my opinion, where schools are going to know right off the bat whether they're going to be able to circle back, how solid they think things are. Because here's the deal. As maybe agents try to legitimize themselves more in the college space, which is a difficult thing to do in a sense, because these guys are taking a much larger cut than NFL agents are, you want to have dealings with schools that go well and they don't end up being a bargaining tool, whether that be agents who represent Mississippi prospects or and or college players or out-of-state guys. Like Ole Miss is, I mean, they beat Tennessee on Craig Tutt. They beat Michigan on Anthony Davis. I mean, they've, you know, and that's, again, just off the top of my head. They have Isaiah Williams committed, the number one linebacker in the country. They have been able to grab some really nice recruiting wins. But at the same time, you know, they have not done a good job in the state of Mississippi. And what we're going to find out here is in this new revenue sharing era of college football, is Ole Miss going to be able to go out and go get what they need to get done for a guy like Jace Matthews or Tristan Keys or whichever, just, you know, and as somebody who covers it, I'm sitting there saying, you know, it's like you're poking them with a stick. Just get one of them at this point. And this fall is where we're going to find out just what the appetite for is to do that with rev share and NIL and the ability to do that by the time it gets to crunch time. Because on one side, it's going to be agents being like, no, we have a good deal. We know what we need. We've got what we need, et cetera. And then on the flip side, you're going to find out who's in for the wild, wild west. and that's something that, you know, this entire recruiting department is in a way going to have to figure out as well. So yes, they absolutely want to get him back on campus, want to get him to a game. Hey, come over for practice, whatever they can and legally do, they will try to do. And then they'll see where the chips fall. But yeah, you want to,
I'll put it this way with this kid, particularly with how it's gone and all we know about it. I don't care where he commits this month. If they don't get that one done, I'll throw up a red flag, a serious red flag. I think he's going to still end up going to Ole Miss. That one would really shock me. That would tell me that something bigger than just the NIL, like something bigger is going on here. Because Ole Miss, it's not about making the hometown kids stay home. It's not about like Mississippi pride and all that. It's just like, this is your backyard. These are guys that, like, this is where it starts. This is like when you're recruiting on College Football 26, you're one of your primary recruiting territories. You know, like this is, and the next two classes are way too good to not really build out a lot of what you need to do right here at home. Not to say that, I mean, they recruit nationally now, but I'm telling you, these next two in-state classes are that good. And if they aren't able to land their fair share, not all of them, but their fair share. They're not getting their fair share yet, especially not in this class. And Jace Matthews, that miss, considering all the connectors, would signify to me that there's a bigger problem at play here. And that's why when you're looking at the hire of Dwight Wilson and other things like that, that piece is in consideration, because this has not been the year for them. This wasn't the year that you really wanted to be missing like Ole Miss has been missing in state. And a lot of it has to do with the insane numbers going out. And Ole Miss is the last couple of years, even when the numbers were insane as all get out, including for Caleb Cunningham, who's coming along as slow as a sloth right now out there in fall camp, they found a way to meet the ask and get to the point and get that kid signed. A lot of everything that's happening right now, Davern Gerald's son commits to LSU, and I know what the number was for that ask, and it's insane. Who's to say Ole Miss doesn't, at the end of it, meet that ask, and he's one of the signees? That very well could happen. I don't care where any of these kids are committed right now. I really don't, because I have seen that movie before. And Jace Matthews is one that, if he doesn't end up signing with Ole Miss in November, and we're told that they wanted him, it just didn't happen, that's a bigger problem. That's one that I'll say about. And I don't feel that way about all of them, very few of them. And I'm not saying Ole Miss needs to clean sweep the top 10. I'm saying just get two. I mean, don't miss on both Tristan Keys and Jace Matthews. And you still got people in the building there saying, hey, Ole Miss isn't getting talked about enough as a candidate or as a real threat for Tristan Keys. Well, that I had to really, treat that with tremendous skepticism, with a little bit of, prove it first, because, you're striking out on Nolan Wilson. And there's like, where is the proof that that's going to be any different? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's you got to treat that with skepticism. So Jace Matthews is one I think is going to be a real barometer in this in-state class in particular to what in the world is going on with Ole Miss in terms of not keeping all of them, but certainly, I mean, Alabama would, and it's not a good example because, Caleb Downs, or who was the guy that was signed with LSU? I can't remember. But like, most of the time in-state schools that are the dominant school keep the best of the best in their home state. And, you know, Ole Miss, I'm not saying it's got to be everybody, but, man, they're not hitting on much of anybody. I mean, Emmanuel Tucker's from right down the road. And a lot of that has to do with what they're asking for now. And you say, well, how is that going to impact winning? How is that in any way responsible? As a CEO, as the CFO, there's a CFO in the building. You know what I mean? Making the numbers work for a guy and spending this percentage of, you know, the hard number that you've got to spend on player procurement for a guy who's not going to contribute to winning next year. Let, you know, LSU get the win on signing day and you'll see him in the portal next year. That's part of the consideration. But still, when it's happening over and over and for pretty much every guy, you go, what's going on? Maybe there is an issue at play. So that's something we're going to be watching.
Yeah, no question. And lastly, we'll close it out here with this. Ole Miss did get good news on Saturday night. Short and sweet, Anthony Davis. So I'll keep this short and sweet. But Ant Davis from Grayson High School in the state of Georgia did commit to Ole Miss. Number 298th overall prospect in the country. 20th ranked linebacker in America. Picked Ole Miss over Michigan. Also had finalists Alabama and Auburn. But the Rebels really led. They led here in this one. For ever since the official visit, really. I mean, that was a school that really was starting to, and if you follow our guy, Chad Simmons, part of our crew at On Three Rivals, on the message board, he was saying all summer, I'm hearing a lot of Ole Miss, hearing a lot of Ole Miss. And that was all the way back on June 6th when he took that official visit. He racked up over 100 tackles last year, 15 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 5 PBU, 1 INT. I think he's a great will linebacker for Pete Golding to develop. Over the next couple of years, he'll play on a large national stage with Grayson High School in the Peach State this season and just continues to keep Ole Miss in that top 20-ish of the overall recruiting classes in the country. So
Lane Kiffin Davis from Grayson, home of who? Robert Denzel Kimdichie to start. Robert Kimdichie named today by Rivals an all-time five-star. So was Laramie Tunsil. So, yeah, nice – little like note there to end this thing, but Ant Davis, man, reminds me a lot of Jacoby Hobson in terms of profile and what he is as a recruit and also where he needs to develop and come along. And when Pete Golding picks a linebacker, pay attention because that man knows linebackers better than anybody.
No doubt. All right, everybody. Hope you guys enjoyed our Monday night powwow on Ole Miss football live from the Riverland Roofing Studio in New Albany. Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Embody. Make sure you give Riverland Roofing a call, 662-644-4297 today for all your roofing needs. You can also send them a text, 662-644-4297. We'll catch you next time on another live edition of Talk of Champions. For Ben Garrett, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great rest of your Monday night.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.